A blue sign hurtles through space toward a green planet. Turner. Now on a silver tray, a printed card reads a Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer silver anniversary picture. Now a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now in black and white, a theater curtain opens. Behind it, an ink drawing shows a judge and jury in a courtroom. A paper card drops down. Spencer Tracy as Adam Bonner. Another card, Katharine Hepburn as Amanda Bonner in Adam's Rib. Produced by Lowe's Incorporated, copyright 1949. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service WGBH Boston. Described by Brian Gould. Read by Chloe Lehman. Major funding provided by the U.S. Department of Education. For more about DVS, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203. More cards. Judy Holliday as Doris Attinger. Tom Ewell as Warren Attinger. David Wayne as Kip Lurie. Gene Hagen as Beryl Kane. Hope Emerson as Olympia LaPere. Screenplay by Ruth Gordon and Garson Kanin. Music by Miklos Rosa. Song Farewell Amanda by Cole Porter. Produced by Lawrence Weingarten. Directed by George Cukor. The stage fades to black. Now in a New York street, lined with skyscrapers, a clock on the side of a building turns 5. People bustle on the sidewalks below. In a busy city square, a blonde-haired woman paces, dressed in a dark suit and a wide-brimmed hat. She checks her watch, then takes a trembling bite from a candy bar. The woman looks across the street to where business people leave an office building. One man, wearing a light-colored double-breasted suit, stops at the door and tugs on his fedora. The woman with the candy bar gapes at him, then pulls her hat brim over her face and ducks behind a newsstand. The man crosses the street to the newsstand and scans the headlines. He buys a newspaper and walks off with a spring in his step. The woman runs after him down a crowded staircase to a subway station. Frantically scanning the crowd, she spots him in the line at a turnstile. He lets a man exit the turnstile, then a woman. As he drops his token in the turnstile and walks through, the woman with the candy bar follows. On the subway platform, a man bumps her. She drops her bag, and a revolver falls out of it. Stooping, she quickly gathers up the gun in the bag. The woman glances around as a surge of commuters push her onto a packed subway car. The car doors close. Cringing, she looks out at the platform. Later, the man in the light-colored suit climbs stairs to the sidewalk. He strides past the woman, hiding in a different subway exit. As the man crosses the street, the woman crouches between two cars, then scurries after him. The man climbs stairs to an apartment building and waits at the door. The woman stops at the bottom of the stairs and watches as the man straightens his tie. He opens the door and strolls inside. The woman runs up the stairs and catches the door before it closes. Swallowing hard, she checks her bag, then enters the building. In a dingy hallway, the woman stops at an apartment door. She takes the revolver out of her bag, then a manual with a picture of a gun on the cover. She mouths words as she reads, her arms laden with the gun, her bag, an overcoat, and a newspaper. She points the revolver at herself, then glances back at the manual. Looking up, she aims at the apartment door. Her gloved hand trembling, she points the gun at the doorknob and squeezes her eyes shut. She kicks the door open and finds the man in the arms of a dark-haired woman.
Hey, let your guard.
Shut up, you! Shut up! My dear husband!
She closes her eyes and points the gun at him.
Doris, please, please!
Doris shoots wildly. The man clutches his chest and falls to the floor, his eyes fixed. Doris aims toward the other woman. Clad in a black negligee, the woman runs to an open window.
Help! Help! Murder! Help!
She escapes past Doris. Still clutching the gun, Doris heaves for breath. Trembling, she gazes at her husband and breaks into a smile. Her smile turns to sobs, and she drops to the floor. Laying beside him, Doris hugs her husband as he gasps for breath. Now a newspaper drops at an apartment's doorstep. The headline reads, "Wife shoots fickle maid in presence of love rival, arrested on assault charge." A maid in a white uniform brings the paper and a breakfast tray to a bedroom door. She listens.
Okay.
The maid leaves. The bedroom door opens and a woman wearing a short-sleeved dressing gown takes the tray inside. Tall and slender, the woman puts the tray on the foot of her sleeping husband's bed.
7:30.
She pulls open a curtain, flooding the stately bedroom with sunlight. As she heads to her dressing room, she glances back at her husband.
7:30.
The man stretches under his covers, then lifts his head.
You said it. 7:30.
Sunlight brightens his handsome face and short blonde hair. Sitting up, he gazes blankly ahead, then lays his head back on his pillow and snuggles under the blankets. In the dressing room, his wife brushes her short brunette curls. Returning to the bedroom, she sits at the foot of her husband's bed next to the breakfast tray and folds her long legs under her gown. She picks up two newspapers from the tray and tosses one in her husband's direction. Next, she pours a cup of coffee. She stirs in sugar and holds the cup out to her slumbering husband.
Hey.
He sits up.
Hello, Pinky.
She holds out the cup of coffee and smiles. As he takes a small sip, she throws her head back and drinks an entire glass of juice.
Hello, Pinky.
You feel all right?
I don't know. Why?
You were making some noises in the night. Funny noises.
I always do, Lily. That is, you always say that I always do. How do I know?
You always do, but not this kind.
What kind?
Well, I don't remember exactly, naturally, but sort of like... Like that. Sort of.
Really? You don't say?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Huh?
I say I sound fascinating.
You do.
She picks up her newspaper and grins.
Hot dog.
What?
Wait a second.
What is it?
Woman shot her husband.
Kill him?
Wait a second. I think she, let's see. No.
That's a shame.
Condition critical, though.
Congratulations.
Wow.
What?
Wait a second.
What is it?
Oh, find it in yours.
It isn't in here.
He was playing her fast and loose, so she caught him out and popped him a few .32 calibers.
Who?
This lady I've been telling you about.
Some lady.
Serves him right, the little two-timer.
Says here 5'11", weighed 180, some little.
Little in spirit, I mean, of course.
Yes,
in spirit.
I don't approve of people rushing around carrying loaded revolvers.
Depends on who they're rushing at.
Yeah, is that what they taught you at Yale Law School? It's not funny. Contempt for the law, you know, is the first thing that...
You're pretty fun. Come in.
The maid.
Better get moving, you two. Heavy traffic today.
As the couple hurries into their dressing rooms, the maid collects their breakfast tray, glances at the newspaper, and smiles.
Atta girl.
Later, the pair drives through New York City in a convertible with the woman at the wheel.
Let him go by.
Well, he wants the whole road. Now, look, all I'm trying to say is that there are lots of things that a man can do, and in society's eyes, it's all hunky-dory. A woman does the same thing. The same, mind you, and she's an outcast.
Finished?
No. Now, I'm not blaming you personally, Adam, because this is so.
Oh, well, that's awfully large of you.
No, it's not your fault. All I'm saying is, why let this deplorable system seep into our courts of law where women are supposed to be equal?
Mostly, I think females get advantages.
We don't want advantages. And we don't want prejudices.
Don't get excited, honey, and don't. Oh, you're giving me the Britain Mall, right?
Well, what did she try to do? She tried to keep her home intact.
Yeah, by knocking off her husband.
She didn't knock him off. She's alive. She didn't kill him.
She tried. She missed.
Well, all right. Now, supposing...
What do you want to do? Give her another shot at him?
No, I don't.
She drives down a city street.
Jonathan burns my goat.
Your what?
My goat.
Crime should be punished, not condoned.
If a woman commits...
Anybody commits... Here, pull over.
Oh.
She swerves into the right lane, cuts off a taxi, and stops. The taxi pulls up alongside.
Sorry.
Aye, drivers. You'll put me away yet.
Now, lettering on an office door reads Adam Bonner, assistant district attorney. The husband, Adam Bonner, enters the office and greets two other men.
Morning, sir.
Morning.
Oh, Ned.
Morning, Roy.
Ready down?
Just now. We've got 5 assaults and 7 robberies, and I'm still counting.
Why are you still young?
Not for long. After all, Mommy's only got 1 pair of brains.
I may give up smoking, you know that.
What's Adam sits down in an adjacent office and flips through papers.
No sense to it.
On the other hand, why should I give up smoking if I like it?
Oh, no.
Something?
Oh, good heavens.
The two men join Adam.
The one case I don't want is the case I get.
It's always the way. Rule of the profession.
But this...
Which one?
This hysterical Hannah who tried to kill her husband. My wife feels that...
That's a cinch. You've already got your full confession. That's the kind of case you take your knitting. Cinch.
A cinch, huh?
What?
You don't happen to be married to my wife.
How do you know?
A cinch. I think I ought to poke you one, Roy.
The intercom.
Yes, sir. Adam, you got a minute?
Right now, Chief.
Adam gets up, opens the office door, and props it with a chair. He glares at Roy.
Cinch.
Adam leaves them.
A case of overwrought. Simple overwrought.
I've noticed guys doing that sort of thing more and more. I've got a theory. You want to hear it? I think the human race is having a nervous breakdown.
Now another office door reads Amanda Bonner, attorney at law. Inside, a secretary takes Amanda's dictation.
I am compelled to return same to you for further revision. If this course seems to you unnecessarily exacting, may I again remind you that unless... we obtain certiorari in the immediate future. Grace?
Yeah?
What do you think of a man who's unfaithful to his wife?
Not nice, but...
All right, now what about a woman who's unfaithful to her husband?
Something terrible.
Aha!
Aha, what?
Why the difference? Why the difference? Why not nice if he does it and something terrible if she does it?
I don't make the rules.
Sure you do. We all do.
Unless we obtain certiorari in the immediate future...
The matter looks hopeless. I again urge you to study and consider United Zinc. A boy sows a wild oat or two, the whole world winks. A girl does the same. Scandal. Yeah?
Hello, honey.
Hello. Hello, husband.
You've been on my mind, baby.
Where you been keeping yourself?
I've been resting up after a hard...
Adam.
You know the woman who shot her husband yesterday?
Yeah?
Want a good laugh?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, I'm elected. I was going to ask the chief to let me off if only on account of peace at home.
What?
The boss wants a quick conviction. And I'm just the little guy who can get it for him. So he says.
You great big he-men make me sick.
What?
An outrage, that's what I think.
You're getting awful dramatic, you know.
Why? What's so funny?
Nothing. You just sound cute when you get causey.
Oh.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Adam hangs up the phone. His grin fades. In her office, Amanda swallows back a quick glass of water and points at her secretary.
Grace?
Yeah?
Did you ever hear about the straw that broke the camel's back?
Many times.
Yeah, well, it just happened again, right on that phone. The last straw on a female camel.
Right on that phone?
Yeah. Now, you better take all this down. This is important.
Go ahead.
There's a woman named, wait a minute. Hey, Bobby, bring me the morning papers in here right away, will you please? Well, whatever her name was, she shot her husband last night.
Served him right.
I'm not joking. This is big.
I see that.
1, find out where she is. 2, get me copies of all the police and court records that are available. 3, find out who's handling her, probably Legal Aid Society. If that's it, let me talk to Rogers down there. She's privately defended. Find out who and let me talk to them. 4, Get Miss Bassett over at Women's Council for Equal Rights. 5, get my husband on the phone. 6, oh, no, don't get my husband on the phone. Thank you, Bobby.
Woman popped her ever love him. See that?
Yeah, thanks. Beat it. Attinger.
Attinger.
Yes, Doris Attinger. I want to see her today without fail.
What's going to happen?
Plenty.
At the hospital, Adam interviews Mr. Attinger.
She's crazy, that's all. That's the only explanation. Plain crazy. Plain crazy. She's always been crazy, if you want a fact.
Crazy when you married her?
Oh, certainly. A fruitcake.
Why did you marry her?
How should I know? Who knows? Why'd you marry yours? Does anybody know?
Now, wait just a minute, Mr. Andrew. Let's not play around with this thing too free and easy. Now, after you file complaint...
I've been complaining ever since the day I got married to her. So go ahead and file it.
She's nuts. That's my complaint.
I'd like to see her put away somewhere.
The dark-haired woman from the apartment.
Murders running around. What kind of a town is this?
We don't have so many murders running around, Miss. But we have a lot of other things just as bad.
You mean like me, huh? Listen, Bub, I connect with you. You ain't over my head.
Good.
I'm gonna get a lawyer on my own or somebody. I gotta get her put away.
Now listen, Pam, you're running way ahead of yourself. You just give us the facts and the background. We'll get a conviction on an attempted murder or first-degree assault or however else the office wishes to proceed. You understand that?
What do I do?
You just tell us the truth as clearly and as accurately as you can.
Shoot. Oh, I mean, go ahead.
He holds his bandaged ribs.
State your full name.
Warren Francis Attinger.
Where do you live?
66 West 12th Street.
New York City?
New York City.
Occupation?
Nothing. No occupation.
Housewife.
Oh, that's right. Housewife.
Grace takes notes as Amanda interviews Mrs. Attinger.
Yes.
She offers her a cigarette.
No, thank you. I don't believe women should smoke. You'll excuse me saying it.
Yes, I'll excuse you.
Thank
you.
Now, how not feminine?
How long have you been married, Mrs. Attinger?
9 years and 4 months.
I see.
And 12 days.
Finished?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you?
Thank you.
And you have 3 children?
Warren Jr., he's 8. Alan, he's 7. And Trudy, she's 6. And that's all.
Now, when did you begin to suspect that you were losing your husband's affection?
When he started batting me around.
When was that?
11 months ago, March 14th.
He struck you?
The first time he broke a tooth. My tooth.
I see.
Upper left molar.
And how often...
It's capped now. You can't notice a thing.
Good. Now, let's start with the day of the accident and
you... Oh, no accident. I wanted to shoot him.
Suppose we decide later just what you wanted to do.
Silly.
The difference between 10 years in prison and freedom is not silly, Mrs. Attinger.
Call me Doris.
Now, you pay attention to what I'm saying.
I don't care what happens to me.
Do you care what happens to Warren and Alan and Trudy?
Yes, I do. I want to go home. Can't you fix it so I should go home?
Not right now, but we're working on it. Here.
I promised my kids I'd take them to Coney Island tomorrow.
Yes, you drink that. Now... You would help us very much if you could reconstruct the day. All of yesterday.
Well, first thing in the morning.
Yes?
I woke up.
Yes?
And I see you didn't sleep home.
You were shocked and surprised.
Oh, no, not shocked, not surprised. He used to not do that a lot, come home.
Did you ever question him about his behavior?
Certainly.
Did he offer any explanation?
Certainly. He told me to shut up and mind my own business.
I see.
But yesterday, I got worried. No, not worried. Mad. I got mad. You know why?
Why?
Because it was the fortnight in a row he didn't.
Come home?
Yeah.
And that made you angry?
Sure, I was getting a habit with him. So I sent the kids to school and I went and bought a gun.
Where?
This hawk shop I go to. I bought a gun and they gave me a book how to. Free.
Had you decided by this time exactly what you'd planned to do?
I'll tell you the honest truth. I didn't decide nothing. I was doing everything like in a dream, like I was watching myself, but I couldn't help it. Like a dream.
Yeah, wait a second. You got all that?
Like I was watching myself, but couldn't help it. Like a dream.
Yeah, good. Now go on, Doris.
So then I got very hungry.
When?
When I bought the gun.
Yeah.
So I went in this hamburger place and I ate two rare. And one lemon meringue pie.
And then?
And then I was still hungry.
Think of that.
So I walked all around and I kept talking to myself, not to be foolish.
And then?
And then I called up Warren. It was just getting his lunch hour by now. So I said to him, I want to see him important, so if we could have lunch together. So he said, no, naturally. So I asked, and you're coming home after? So he says, what for? So I said to him, well, don't you live there no more? So he says, don't bother me in the office. You want me to lose my job? Loud. So then he hung up.
And what did you do?
I had a cup of coffee.
Where?
The same place as him, only he didn't see me. It was crowded. The buffet exchange. So then I bought some chocolate nut bars, and I went outside of his office, and I waited the whole afternoon. And I kept eating the candy bars and waiting until he come out. And then I followed him. And then I shot him.
And after you shot him, how did you feel then?
Hungry.
Now, between the paper theater curtains, a card reads, "That evening." At the apartment, Amanda fusses with candles on a dining room table set for 10. She smiles to the maid.
Everything looks lovely, Mary. You must be dead.
Oh, I don't care, except the extra help.
With me, the more help I got, the harder I feel.
Hello, I'm not late, am I?
Not typical. 20 minutes of 8.
Adam walks in.
Oh, beautiful.
Hiding a hat box behind him, Adam cranes his neck out for a kiss, but Amanda brushes past. He follows her into the living room and she pats his cheek.
Can you get dressed in 4 minutes?
Of course I can't get dressed in 4 minutes. What do you mean, getting? Why, sure, darling, I can get dressed in 4 minutes. I may have a little trouble getting a bath at that time.
He follows her into the bedroom with the hat box. Amanda hurries into her dressing room. Adam, still wearing his business suit, sets the hat box on a chair in the middle of the bedroom.
You are hurrying up, aren't you, darling? Oh, what is Judge Markison's wife's name? Do you remember? Oh, I do. Alice. I hope Kip knows enough to behave with the judges around. I'll keep him playing the piano as much as possible.
Have a good day.
Yeah.
You make a lot of money?
Nope. Better than money.
Adam really? Steps into his closet.
What?
A very interesting development. Very.
Good.
I hope you'll think so when you find out what it is. It may jar you a bit at first, but
Now wearing a black dress, Amanda spies the box. She picks up the flowered black hat inside.
Pinky.
Calling me?
What's that?
Just the best hat in the world. Or the best head.
I may ask you to come home late every single night.
She walks into his closet.
Hey, someday they're going to build a statue to you somewhere.
Huh?
She tries on the hat.
Oh.
Well, now, what about that?
That's sweet.
Isn't that absolutely
American?
Yeah,
you look kind of like Grandma Moses.
Oh, I'm a lucky girl.
Yeah?
Huh?
Your mother and father are here. Oh.
They rush
all
around.
All right, I'm right down.
Tell them to fix themselves a drink.
What?
A drink.
No, thanks.
What?
I said I don't want one, thanks.
Adam wears a tuxedo.
How do I look?
Oh, boy, you look handsome. This is a dress I have on.
Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful.
The back of her unfastened dress flaps open.
How are you,
Maddie? Hello, everybody.
Well, hello, honey.
It's your cousin, Adam.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, John, how are you?
Adam.
Hi.
Hello, Adam.
Hello, dear.
Adam, go ahead. Mix the drinks.
Mix the drinks. Come on.
I'm sorry we're so late, but I'm not to blame. I have an irresponsible husband.
Hereditary.
Amanda leads them into the dining room.
I hope. Oh, my dress. Do it up.
I'm sorry. I forgot my glasses.
You did? Oh, well, Adam! Hey, come on in here and fasten me up, will you?
Adam hands his dad a cocktail shaker.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Mix them. Don't drink it now. I suppose someday somebody will invent something.
You've got no complaints. You ought to see some of the things that I used to have to handle. Hooks and eyes, begad. She had an evening gown one time, had about 2,000.
Don't exaggerate.
All right, then, 1,000. Used to start to hook her up sometimes right after breakfast.
A young couple arrives.
Good evening, Mary. Anybody else important here yet? Well, look at us. All the way from across the hall and right on time. Don't we look nice?
You certainly do.
You know Emerald Messel, don't
you? Hello, Emerald. How are you?
Mrs. Bonner.
Hello,
Mr. Bonner.
You know Adam's father and mother? Emerald Messel.
She's just been proposing to me. That's why we're on time.
Ha ha.
No humor, but stinking rich.
Emerald, what do you want to drink?
The young guest watches Adam fasten Amanda's dress.
Need some help, old friend?
No, thanks.
Well, why not? She may be your wife, but she's my lawyer. Amanda, my love, why do you stay married to a legal beagle with 10 thumbs?
All right, Kit, that's enough.
Not for me, it's not.
Why don't you go play the piano?
All right, I suppose that is why I was invited.
That's right.
Somebody ought to bring me a drink. I choose Amanda.
Kip spies two more couples arriving and joins them in the foyer.
Are you the judges? Somebody said judges were coming.
Amanda shushes him, then smiles at her guests.
You always have judges here. Why is that? To get in good with them?
Amanda gives Kip a martini and sits at the piano.
Oh, very nice to see you, Mrs. Markison.
Oh, very nice to see you, Mrs. Markison. How very nice to see you, Mrs. Markison.
Adam leads her into another room and closes the doors. Amanda talks with a gray-haired man.
Very nice to see you.
What were you doing down in my bailiwick today?
Oh, just a little ambulance chasing.
Successful?
Well, I got the case.
What case?
A girl named Doris Attinger shot her husband. I'm going to defend her.
Adam spills a tray of drinks. The maid enters.
Dinner is served, madam.
Well, let's go on in, everyone.
Adam shakes his hands dry. After dinner, they all watch a home movie. A title, Bonner Epics Present, The Mortgage, The Merrier.
The trouble with this picture, it drags.
Shut up, Kip. You all sure that you want to see this?
I don't.
The movie shows a sprawling lawn and a farmhouse.
Look at that, will you?
Oh, this is our main house. The cottage is out here by the camera.
I can't see it.
A sign, Bonner Hill.
What an unusual name. Your idea, Adam?
Adam glares at Kip. In the movie, Amanda plays tennis dressed in white pants and a short-sleeve sweater.
Cute outfit, Amanda. Really cute.
The ball sails over Amanda's head. She lifts her arms in victory.
Mighty pretty country up there.
Emerald.
Ha, ha.
I know a lady collapsed a lung once laughing like that.
Sitting by himself, Adam folds his arms and glares at Amanda. In the movie, Amanda wears a sporty sweater and pants outfit. She waves at Adam, asleep on a patio lounge chair. A title reads, Wake Up, Company Coming. A car pulls up the dirt driveway and stops, facing the patio. Adam waves at the camera and mouths, Stop that. As he gets up from his chair, he grips his unbuckled belt and hoists up his sagging trousers. Seated beside the projector, Kip grins.
Oh, cute outfit, Adam. Really cute. Whoa.
Adam shoots a look at Amanda. She opens her mouth to speak, then frowns and turns back to the screen. In the movie, Adam pets two bull terriers.
Look at those darling dogs.
One, two, three. Sort of an animal picture, isn't it?
In the film, one of the judges shows Adam and Amanda a document.
What's that, anyhow?
It's the mortgage.
That was the day they paid off the mortgage. I brought it out myself.
Adam shows a check to the camera.
Looks like rubber from here.
We acted this all out later, of course. I mean, it's not actual.
All right, Big Mouth, settle down.
Kip.
Amanda slinks under the projector beam to Adam, sulking on the couch. She leans her head on his chest and looks in his eyes. Adam glares up at Kip.
It seems much slower than the other 8 times I've seen it.
Who took these pictures, your cow?
Amanda slips back to her chair. A title. Congratulations, you own it all now. Lock, stock, and leaky plumbing.
Please. You should have taken a picture of burning the mortgage. That would have been a good one.
We did, Dad. Wait, look. No.
Adam holds a hot dog under his nose.
Oh, cute, Adam. Very cute.
In the movie, Adam burns the mortgage in the grill.
Ooh, expensive hot dogs.
Adam and Amanda hug a large oak, mouth our tree, and kiss its bark.
Tree kissing, a famous old Connecticut custom.
Next, they run past 2 horses and kiss the door of their barn.
Barn kissing, a famous old Connecticut custom.
With a smile, Adam pushes Amanda into the barn and holds the door shut. Amanda pushes it open and grins at him with a mouthful of hay. Adam gently shoves her back into the barn, then closes the door on them both. A title reads, Censored. In the movie, Adam paddles a canoe. Amanda lounges with her head in his lap. They kiss.
Wife kissing, a famous old Connecticut custom.
The movie image flips upside down.
Okay, everybody, on your head.
Kip does a quick headstand. In the movie, Adam paddles the canoe.
And as the sinking Sioux sunks into the sinking sun, we say goodbye to Bonner Hill and the sickening home movie.
Later in Adam and Amanda's bedroom.
All right. Said the same thing 9 times.
For the 10th time, then, will you please stay out of this Attinger thing, darling? Will you please?
Did you have to sulk all evening?
Look.
With a growl on your face?
How could a man have a growl on his face? If you think you're going to turn a court of law into a Punch and Judy show,
darling,
I want to tell
please,
you, you don't...
Please, this means a great deal to me.
Yes, would you?
And
would
it's
you,
not a stunt.
Would you?
This
would
poor
you?
Woman, isn't yes. she entitled to the same justice, I mean, that's usually reserved for men, the same unwritten law that got Lenihan off?
Would you?
I know what please, you're going to say.
Please,
that he
please,
should have been convicted,
just,
too.
Just,
but he wasn't.
Couldn't
and you're
I
not going to put this poor soul away just because she had the misfortune
small,
to be born a
just
female.
Just one word in
not
edgewise.
If I could
couldn't
what?
I? Could I please get a word in edgewise?
Well, go ahead.
Not one syllable. Not one syllable of
you're
what
too
you have been blabbering here tonight.
You always do that when you get excited.
Adam levels his gaze at her and steps close.
I am going to cut you into 12 little pieces and feed you to the jury, so get prepared for it.
Amanda returns a slight grin, then switches off the light as they take off their bathrobes. Wearing a sleeveless gown, she touches her husband on the arm.
Good night, Pinky.
She kisses him and they embrace.
Oh, good night.
Daytime. Stone engraving on a city building reads, Equal and exact justice to all men of whatever state or persuasion. Criminal courts building. Inside, Warren Attinger sits in a courtroom. Adam enters.
Mr. Bonner.
He shows Adam a sling around his left arm, then sits back down next to Beryl Kane, the dark-haired woman from the apartment. Amanda enters the courtroom wearing a long dark dress with a matching jacket. She strides to Adam's table. Adam politely shakes her hand and she leans to whisper in his ear.
People versus Delvin has been assigned to part 3. All witnesses in that case will proceed to that part.
The court clerk carries some documents from the judge's bench to his desk at the side of the room. A side door opens and a female bailiff enters, followed by Doris Attinger. Amanda continues whispering to Adam. Then they both look up as Mrs. Attinger walks across the courtroom. She wears the black flowered hat that Adam gave to Amanda. He spots it and glares at his wife.
People against Attinger.
You may proceed.
Adam stands.
Your Honor, I move the case of the people of the state of New York against Doris Szabo Attinger to trial.
Is the defendant ready?
Defendant is ready.
Very well. You may proceed to select the jury.
The court clerk spins a wheel on his desk. He stops the wheel, opens it, and reads a paper ballot.
Call her, Locke.
A man stands up.
Take your coat, if you please.
The man, trim and bald, wears a dark suit. He walks to the witness stand beside the judge where the clerk holds up a Bible.
Place your left hand on the Bible. Raise your right hand.
You do solemnly swear that you will true answers make to all questions put to you upon the several challenges touching upon your competence as a fair and impartial juror in this proceeding between the people of the state of New York and Doris Sabo Attinger, so help you God?
I do.
Be seated. State your full name and address.
Paul Herlock, 1731 Boylston Avenue, New York City.
Adam walks to the witness stand and the clerk hands him the jury panel list.
Mr. Herlock, what's your occupation?
Infant's headgear.
Are you personally acquainted with one Warren Attinger?
No.
Doris Sabo Attinger?
No.
Burl Kane?
No.
Do you think that you're able to render a just and honest verdict in this case as adduced by the evidence of the law as laid down by the court?
Sure.
Yes?
Yes.
The juror is acceptable with people.
He hands the list to Amanda and sits down.
Good morning, Mr. Herlock.
Good morning.
Do you believe in equal rights for women?
What? Objection.
May it please the court, I submit that my entire line of defense is based on the proposition that persons of the female sex should be dealt with before the law as the equals of persons of the male sex. I submit that I cannot hope to argue this line before minds hostile to and prejudiced against the female sex.
Objection still stands, Your Honor.
Ruled. Exception.
Repeat the question, Counsel.
Do you believe in equal rights for women?
I should say not.
The defendant challenges this juror for cause.
Excused.
Benjamin Klausner.
Mr. Herlock leaves the stand. Amanda sits down beside Mrs. Attinger. At the other end of the counsel table, Adam looks at Amanda and taps a pencil.
Your Honor, in view of the fact that counsel have agreed that alternate jurors are not to be selected...
Pretending to read his notes, Adam pushes his pencil off the table and bends down to get it. Watching him, Amanda drops her pencil and spies Adam under the table. He smiles. Amanda kisses her finger at him, then lifts the hem of her dress, showing Adam her white slip. His mouth drops in pretend shock.
I do. Be seated. You're Benjamin Klausner?
Klausner.
State your address.
107 East 77th Street, New York City.
Occupation?
Projectionist. Motion picture projectionist.
The clerk turns to Adam, whose head is still under the table. With a curious frown, the clerk walks over. Spotting his shoes, Adam quickly stands and faces Mr. Klausner.
Have you ever served on a motion picture projectionist before?
What?
Have you ever served on a jury before?
No.
Now, between the paper theater curtains, a card reads, "That evening." In the apartment, Amanda wears a white robe decorated with geometric designs. Holding a cocktail glass, she eyes a wall clock in the foyer, 6:55. She sits down at the bottom of the stairs and gazes at the front door. The door opens and Adam shuffles in, dressed in his suit and hat and carrying his briefcase. Beaming, Amanda wraps him in a hug.
Hello, Fay.
Hello, at last.
Well, well, well.
Well, 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 what?
Here we are.
How true.
Home at last.
Took the words right out of my... Darling. Are you all right?
How do you mean?
I mean in health and so forth.
Sure.
Good.
In health, excellent. And so forth, there. What's that, some
daiquiris.
Oh, good.
She hands him the cocktail and they walk into the living room. On their way to the couch, Amanda gently squeezes his neck and pats him on the back. Adam puts his feet up and Amanda curls beside him with a newspaper.
Nobody died in the evening papers. Isn't that nice?
What do you suppose it is, just perverseness of human nature or what?
What?
Well, it seems that every night when Mary's out in the night, that's the night I want to stay home and vice versa.
Not me. I love to go out to dinner. I'd rather go out than anything.
Where do you want to go tonight?
No place. I want to stay home tonight.
What?
Would you mind?
What?
Please.
Well, I don't know.
Cook up something ourselves. Something exotic. How would you care for some of that?
Oh, I would.
Amanda reads the paper. On the back, her picture is printed under a headline.
Fine. You going to make it?
Say, you're not making too much sense, sir. What do you want to do? Talk to me or read that paper?
Read the paper.
Why?
Quite a lot about me, and I guess that's why.
Yes, I'll bet.
You feel pinky cranky?
No.
Oh, I mean, feel cranky, pinky. Hard day, huh?
Mm-hmm. In court all day, were you?
Yes.
Had to mix it up with a tough customer, I'll bet. That always makes you kind of irritable.
Not so bad, not so bad. As a matter of fact, it was a cinch.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
Isn't it?
She turns to the newspaper.
Dear.
She looks at him.
You mean me?
I sure do. Listen.
I'm all ears.
I wish you were.
What?
You all right?
Me?
Sure.
Of course. Why?
Well, I just wouldn't want to think of you not being all right, that's all.
Know what you are?
What?
She touches his face.
Lovable.
I know.
You're hungry,
I'm not. Yes, I'm starving.
He rubs Amanda's shoulders as they walk into the dining room.
Oh. Mm. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Give you a real rub down later if you'll give me one.
Yeah.
He pulls her aside.
Yeah. That's more like it.
Ouch.
What's the matter?
Amanda glides into the kitchen. Adam comes in with lipstick smudged across his mouth.
Anything for a hungry man?
She opens the refrigerator.
Cheese? A souffle, maybe?
No. See, I've got enough on my mind without a souffle. There ought to be some lamb left.
Lamb? I don't think so. Hey, wait a minute.
She takes out a plate.
Lamb?
Huh?
Curry. Lamb curry. What do you say?
Perfect.
Huh?
Rice.
Ah, chutney.
Yes, I think so.
Tea and curry, that's the thing.
And salad.
Give me the junk for the salad.
Adam puts on an apron as Amanda lights a burner.
Hey, do you know you were pretty cute in there today, my little...
You weren't so bad yourself, chum.
Do you mind a bit of the old garlic?
Why, a bit.
Pinky.
What, Pinky?
Do me a favor, will you?
Not too much salt?
No, drop the case.
I can't.
Why not?
It's my cord.
I know. But I could see you in there even today. It's going to get sillier and messier day by day.
By day.
I don't ask many favors.
Sure you do.
You could handle it from your desk.
Not as good.
Practically.
Listen, darling, I know that deep down you agree with me with everything I want and hope and believe in. We couldn't be so close if I didn't feel that you did.
Oh, sure.
I'll take this trial. Sure, maybe it has some of the inconvenience of the spotlight, but that's my whole point.
What point?
Not any green peppers. Indigestible.
Well, everything's indigestible to some people.
Anyway, I don't like green peppers.
All right, no green peppers.
Take the Boston Tea Party.
You mean instead of the green peppers?
What did they do? They dramatized an injustice. Yeah. That's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah. You know, people will be making jokes about us over the radio before long.
All in a good cause.
Your cause.
Everybody's.
Yeah. Now, there's just enough for us.
He points to the food, then goes to the front door. He opens it and faces someone in a tuxedo holding up Amanda's newspaper picture. Kip lowers the paper and eyes Adam's apron.
Hello, you well-known thing, you.
How are you?
You just ask that because you can't think of anything else to say. You don't care whether I live or die.
They walk into the kitchen.
Hello, lawyer dear. Seen all these?
Yeah, thank
you. Well, have some extras. Marvelous goings on, simply marvelous. Everybody's talking about
it. Yeah, that's the idea.
Sort of like the World Series, sort of, isn't it?
Yes, I'm afraid it is.
Kip spots the lipstick blotches on Adam's lips.
What have you been eating? Raspberry jam or Amanda's face?
Adam wipes it off.
Oh, very funny. Very, 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 very
funny. No, but
funny.
I didn't you even notice that.
Well, if you'd look at me once in a while, you would notice things like that.
Bicker. I give them 3 months at the most.
What do you want around here anyway?
As if you didn't know.
He beams at Amanda.
Oh, well. How's it coming, Kip?
The show? Smashing, simply smashing. Couldn't get much work done today, though. Another notion got in the way.
Oh, what?
A new song. Want to hear it?
Well, maybe some other time it would be.
Please, it's for you. And Adam, you don't have to listen.
He goes to the piano in the living room. Adam frowns.
Written a song?
Darling, don't be so cross. He's sweet.
Listening? Farewell, Amanda. Adios, adio, adieu. Farewell, Amanda. It all was great fun, but it's done, it's through.
now and then.
Adam looks up from his meal with a disgusted grimace.
When you're stepping on the stars.
He looks across the table at Amanda, who gazes dreamily.
Please recall that wonderful night on the veranda. Sweet Amanda and our love. No verse yet. Listening?
Beaming, Amanda stands swaying in the doorway, then purses Listening? Her lips to whistle.
There with Amanda. Adios, adio, adio.
Adam clenches his jaw.
Farewell, Amanda. It all was great fun, but it's done. It's through. Still now and then, fair Amanda. When you're stepping on the stars above, please recall that wonderful night on the veranda. Sweet Amanda and our love.
Adam stalks behind Amanda and swings the door shut on her.
Hey, don't.
She pushes back, whacking Adam with the door.
Ow!
Pardon.
With a satisfied smile, she follows him into the kitchen. Kip pops his head in.
Did I hear someone say sing it again?
No.
Well, I haven't got time anyway.
It's very pretty.
Pretty French.
You're not friendly to me. I may consult my lawyer.
I think you ought to change the name. I really...
Can't. It won't scan, see? Well, good luck tomorrow, Amanda. I'm on your side. I guess you know that. You've got me so convinced I may even go out and become a woman. Well, good night, all.
Adam watches him leave.
And he wouldn't have far to go, either.
Shh.
What's the matter?
Kip trots back in.
He can hear you.
Now in court, Beryl Kane sits on the witness stand.
And then what happened?
And then I heard a noise, and then I
what
started...
What kind of a noise?
Like a sound. Like a loud sound going off.
Yes.
So I jumped up, and all of a sudden I saw her.
Mrs. Attinger.
Yes.
Say so, please.
I seen Mrs. Attinger. She was coming after me with this gun of hers right in her two hands, so I guess I must have started a conk out or something. Excuse me to find you something. So then Mr. Attinger grabbed me so as I shouldn't fall down, I guess. And then she, Mrs. Attinger, tried to kill me.
Objection. Will the court please instruct the witness to refrain from testifying to conclusions?
Stay on that. Jury, disregard reply. Strike from record. Witness will please confine herself to the recital of facts.
What did she do?
Well, she shot me, at me. I mean, she tried to shoot me.
How do you know that?
Because she did it. So then he jumped in front of me, Warren, Mr. Attinger, and I ran out in the hall hollering, and then I fainted, and everything went black.
Adam nods to Amanda.
Your witness.
Everything went black a little earlier, didn't it, Miss Kane?
What?
I refer to the color of the black silk negligee you put on to receive Mr. Attinger.
Objection, irrelevant.
Not at all.
What difference does it make what color she was wearing? Oh, come. Pearls. Exception.
Were you wearing a black silk lace negligee?
Yes.
Speak up, Miss Kane. We're all very interested in what you have to say. What else?
What?
Answer the question.
I can't remember.
Shoes, slippers?
Yes.
Which?
Slippers.
Stockings?
Yes.
Think again.
No.
Nothing else?
Yes.
What?
A hair ribbon.
Is this your usual costume for receiving casual callers?
Objection. Stand.
Withdrawn. Miss Kane, you said Mr. Attinger came to see you about...
About another insurance policy. I said this already.
Well, say it again.
Mr. Attinger came to collect on my policy and explain me another kind.
You hold?
Straight life 3,000.
And he came to discuss...
Health and accident.
He showed remarkable foresight in this, wouldn't you say?
Would Your Honor instruct counsel to refrain from these sly and feminine hints to the jury?
I'll withdraw the question, Your Honor, on condition that the word feminine be stricken from the record.
So be it.
So ordered.
Miss Kane, a while ago you said, would you be kind enough to read me some of Miss Kane's testimony? She just fainted, I believe.
The stenographer reads.
So I guess I must have started to conk out or something. Excuse me, to faint or something. So Mr. Attinger grabbed me.
Ah, that's
so...
it. Thank you very much. You said Mr. Attinger grabbed you.
Yes.
Had he ever grabbed you before?
No.
Never before?
No.
You're aware that you're under oath, Miss Kane, and that any false answer makes you liable to perjury.
Yes.
Mr. Attinger had never touched you before this time.
Sure.
Ah.
We used to shake hands quite a lot.
I see. Did you enjoy it?
Objection! Stand.
Now, with Warren Attinger on the witness stand, Amanda faces the jury.
And the year before that, what did you give your wife for her birthday?
Nothing.
Nothing again. And the year before that?
I don't remember.
You don't remember because there's nothing to remember.
Wait a second. It was,
Husbands remember the gifts they give Mr. Attinger?
Adam glances at the hat on Mrs.
Okay,
Attinger's head.
So I didn't.
Why? Had she ceased to be a good wife to you?
No, she's okay.
Mr. Attinger, do you wish to see justice done in this case?
Yes.
All right, then. Tell the truth. Do you love your wife? Tell the truth.
No.
Did you love her before she shot you? Tell the truth.
When before?
The day before.
No.
When did you meet Beryl Kane?
A year, maybe and a half.
And when did you stop loving your wife? Tell the truth.
At least 3 years.
Why? Tell the truth.
She started getting too fat.
Did you tell her about that?
Yeah.
What happened?
She got fatter.
Beryl grins.
Mr. Attinger, did you ever strike your wife?
Not much.
Tell the jury yes or no.
Yeah.
Knock her down?
What?
You heard me. Did you ever knock her down? Tell the truth.
Maybe a couple of times she tripped or slipped.
Scold her?
Well...
Tell the jury yes or no.
Yeah.
Stay out all night?
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself a good husband?
Yes.
Amanda smiles at the jury.
That's all.
Adam approaches the witness stand.
Your wife ever scold you?
Yes.
Strike you?
Yes.
Knock you down?
Yes.
Did she ever stay out all night?
No, I wish she did.
Never mind the comment, just answer the questions.
What I'm doing now, all day, all day.
Now, listen to this very carefully. Did your wife ever threaten you?
Sure, yeah.
When?
Every day.
And what effect did this have upon you?
It made me into a nervous wreck.
How else did she mistreat you?
In bed. She used to hit me in my sleep.
How?
What do you mean, how? With her fist.
Now you're sure this wasn't just your imagination.
You don't get a split lip from imagination. She used to wait until I went to sleep. Then pow, pow. So then an argument. So then I'd go to sleep again. So then pow, pow.
And this caused you great distress?
Yes. Also sleepless nights.
A newspaper headline. Doris Attinger on stand to tell all. Now in the courtroom.
I says, listen, Warren, I says, you can't have it both ways, you know, so make up your mind. And don't try to make some kind of part-timer out of me. So he says, bite your tongue, fatso. So I says, you coming home for supper? So he says, I'll write you a letter. So I said, you coming home after? So he says, I'll put an ad in the New York Times personal column and let you know. So I says, don't get too sassy, Mr. Attinger. So he says, and don't you be looking at me so cockeyed, because I don't want to have to shake your head up to straighten them out. So I threw it.
Threw what?
The pot. So he left mad.
And that was the last you saw him?
Till later, when I followed him up and caught him muzzling that tall job.
Jackson, struck jury, bear in mind, activity not yet known.
When you enter Department D, what did you see?
Them clutching.
How close together were they?
No close. Together.
No space between them?
No space.
Where were her hands?
On his ears.
On his ears?
One on each ear. Hey, maybe that's why he didn't hear me come in.
And where were his hands?
Who knows?
You didn't see them?
Around her someplace.
Did that surprise you?
No, I figured.
But it enraged you.
Objection, leading. Stand.
Amanda draws her breath.
When you found them thus embraced, what happened?
It enraged me.
Then what?
I pressed the gun.
And?
Bang.
Did you take careful aim?
I was too nervous.
Did you aim at all?
I was too nervous.
Did you at that time intend to kill Beryl Kane?
Doris frowns.
No.
To wound her?
No.
To frighten her?
Yes.
To kill your husband, Warren Attinger?
No.
To wound him?
No.
To frighten him?
No.
No?
No.
In other words, you fired the pistol only to frighten Beryl Kane.
Yes.
What was the point of that?
I have three children. She was breaking up my home.
Doris buries her face in a handkerchief. Amanda shakes her head and returns to her table. Adam approaches the stand.
That's right, Mrs. Anger. You go right ahead and have a good cry. But somewhere in between those sobs, maybe you could find time to tell us just who it is you're crying for. Is it for Beryl Kane, an innocent bystander to your sordid domestic failure? Or is it your husband, driven ill by your shrewishness? Or is it your children, cursed with an unstable and irresponsible mother? Or could it be for yourself, Miss...
I object to this pre-peroration, Your Honor, on the grounds that it's prejudicial to the defendant.
Oh, let it stand. I can't see that it much matters. Overruled.
Exception.
But do get on with it, Mr. Bonner, please. Your husband has testified, Mrs. Attinger, that you have frequent fits of temper. What have you
said?
Oh, what are you going to do? Object before I ask the question?
Paint the defendant as a kind of lunatic of some sort. Mrs. Attinger is a fine, healthy, a noble wife, mother.
Just a moment, please.
May I remind the court of the words of the poet Congreve?
The poet
Heaven has no language like love, hatred, turn, nor hell. You're a woman born.
Now, just a moment. Read the question.
Your husband has testified, Mrs. Attinger, that you are subject to frequent fits of violent temper. Now, what about?
A title. That evening, at the apartment, Adam lies on a massage table. Amanda, wrapped in a towel, rubs his back.
Don't tell me that judge is impartial.
Mm-hmm. Every time I look up at him, I can just see him.
Quiet, please. It doesn't do you any good if you don't... Wait a minute. Relax.
I'm relaxed.
I can feel.
So can I.
You can?
She slaps his behind.
Oh! What are you doing?
Testing.
She smiles and gently massages his head.
Oh, I thank you. Seems to me I need this more every year.
You're aging fast, that's all.
You can say that again.
All right, I will. You're aging fast, that's all.
Oh, and you're helping.
Done.
I thank you.
Amanda wraps a towel around her head, covering her short curls.
Well, ought to be some news on the radio. You want to hear it?
If it's good news, yep.
She lies on the table.
Sorry.
I'll do my best.
Why don't they have all the good news on one station and all the bad news on another station? Wouldn't that be good?
I guess nobody's just said that before.
Adam frowns at the radio.
I got the station with the bad news.
Getting awfully popular, Kip's song. I hear it everywhere.
So do I. I hear it sometimes even when it isn't playing.
He rubs Amanda's back.
Adios, adieu, adieu.
Adam's face sours, then he slaps Amanda's backside. Amanda stiffens, then stands up and glares at her husband.
What's the matter? Don't you want your rub now? What are you sore about, a little slap?
No.
Well, what then?
You meant that, didn't you? You really meant that.
Why, no,
yes, you did. I can tell. I know your touch. I know a slap from a slug.
Well, okay.
I'm not so sure it is. I'm not so sure I care to expose myself to typical, instinctive, masculine brutality.
Oh, come on.
And it felt not only as though you meant it, but as though you felt you had a right to. I can tell.
What have you got back there? Radar equipment?
You're really sore at me, aren't you?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Ridiculous.
There. Proves it.
All right. I am sore. What about it?
Why are you?
You know why.
You mean Kip? Just because he's having a little fun?
No, because you're having a little fun. You're having the wrong kind of fun down in that courtroom. You're shaking the law by the tail, and I don't like it. I'm ashamed of you, Amanda.
Is that so?
Yes, that's so. We've had our little differences, and I've always tried to see your point of view. But this time you got me stumped, baby.
You haven't tried to see my point of view. You haven't even any respect for
There we go. Here we go again. The old juice. Guaranteed heart melter. A few female tears. Stronger than any acid. But this time they won't work. You can try from now until the time the jury comes in, and it won't make you right, and it won't win you that silly case.
Adam! Please, try to understand.
Adam goes into the next room, then stops. Amanda sits clutching the towel to her chest. Adam shuffles back in and stands beside her.
Don't you want your rub down?
Amanda shrugs and shakes her head.
Want a drink? You want any?
Amanda nods and kicks him in the shin.
Honey? Ow!
Let's all be manly.
She storms out of the room. Adam gapes. A newspaper cartoon shows Amanda slugging Adam with a baseball bat. Now in court.
And represents a wanton waste of the taxpayers' money. Your Honor, this...
I have called these few witnesses to assist me in graphically illustrating my point that woman as the equal of man is entitled to equality before the law. They have been carefully selected to testify in this case, each representing a particular branch of American womanhood. For not only one woman is on trial here, but all women.
Your Honor, I submit that not one of this long string of witnesses has any direct bearing on the case.
For years, women have been ridiculed, pampered, chucked under the chin. I ask you on behalf of us all, be fair to the fair sex.
We'll be here a year.
Mrs. Bonner, couldn't you cover the ground with, say, three witnesses?
Well, Dr. Margaret Brody, would you take the stand, please?
With this witness to be examined, and this case will certainly continue for at least 2 or 3 days. With your Honor's permission, I'll report that no new cases are to be added to our day calendar.
So ordered.
At the counsel table, Amanda drops her pencil. Adam drops his pencil, and they look at each other under the table. Amanda sticks out her tongue. Adam whispers, then bangs his head on the way out.
Dr. Margaret Brody, 58 East 88th Street. Dr. Brody, would you be good enough to state your age?
33.
Your occupation?
Chemist.
Now, will you tell the court what position or positions you now hold?
Gladly. Chief Consulting Chemist, Institute for Advanced Studies. Director, Brody Halleck Laboratories. Civilian Consultant, United States Army Chemical Warfare Service. Advisor to Supply Officer, British Embassy. Director of Chemical Field Research, United States Department of Agriculture. That's this year.
Amanda rises.
Now, will you tell the court what degrees you have?
Well, let's see. ABBS, Bryn Mawr. MA, PhD, MD, Columbia. Then, do you want the European ones, too?
Please.
Well?
Diplôme des sciences chimiques de la Sorbonne Paris.
Dr. Honoris.
Later, Amanda questions an older woman.
I see. Now, how many months have you been foreman, Mrs. McGrath?
17.
And this promotion placed under you, how many?
383.
Any men?
Mostly.
They didn't complain?
Couldn't. Seniority.
Does your husband object to your employment?
No.
Is he employed?
Yes.
Where?
Under me.
Adam shakes his head. Another witness.
Now, just what do you mean by show business, Miss LaVere?
Well, I mean all different kinds of show business. There's carnival, vaudeville, Ringling Brothers, nightclubs. I even did legit once.
Just what is it that you do?
Well, it changes, see? Like, take, for instance, tumbling. Now, I used to do quite a lot of that tumbling. But it gets corny, and I'm stuck with a row of flip-flops.
Just what are they?
Well, it's, start with,
She twirls her hands.
Hey, look.
Miss LaPere stands, broad-shouldered and beefy. Amanda takes her coat and hat. Miss LaPere faces the jury. She bends over and does a handstand, then turns a series of backward handsprings. The judge smiles as Miss LaPere flips through the air, crossing the length of the courtroom.
That's it. But nobody wants it. It's corny. So then I done some trapeze work and high bar, but I'm getting a little heavy for that now. So 2 years back, I got into this lift act. I'm one of the only female understanders around.
What?
Yeah, we do this open pyramid where I support five men.
Surely you're not the only female who does that.
Oh, no, I'm needing the... Oh, a gag. Hey, you know, that's pretty good. Yeah, support. Oh, hey, you know, that was a good one.
Get on, counsel, shall we?
Yes, sir. Now, what do you consider your best physical or athletic accomplishment?
My lifts, I guess. I was out last year, these three Olympic guys and me. Just lifts. You see, I've done the finish where I lift the champ with his barbell together.
What?
Oh, yeah, this was a good act. You see, they lift. And then the last guy does a one-hand 350 barbell lift. Then while he still got it up, I come on and lift him with his barbell together. Peel down, see, so they could tell I was a woman.
Remarkable.
Oh, yeah, I used to get a good hand.
Can you lift any man?
Well, I don't know.
Could you lift Mr. Bonner?
Who's he?
Your Honor, I object to this farce. I call to counsel's attention that
him?
He is guilty of a grave offense
sure.
against her profession. May it please the court, I strenuously object to the
Amanda whispers to Miss LaPere.
For no other reason than it's an insult to the dignity of the court. Now, we all love the circus. I love it just as much as anybody else, I'm sure.
Miss LaPere crouches behind Adam, then lifts him up over her head.
No.
In the gallery, Kip and Emerald break out laughing. Miss LaPere balances Adam, holding one hand under his rump. Adam sways above the judge.
Come on down from there.
Adam shrugs.
Yes, put him down. Let me down.
Miss LaPere gently lowers Adam to the floor. A title, That Evening. Smiling, Amanda opens the apartment door with a present under her arm.
Hello, thing.
She spies Adam sulking on the living room couch. Amanda hides the neatly wrapped box behind her back, then strides across the room and sits beside him.
I'm sorry I'm so late, darling, but I...
Nursing a cocktail, Adam stares into his glass. Grinning, Amanda tips the shaker to her glass. It's empty. She leans back, smiles again, and holds up the present wrapped with a ribbon bow.
Guess who this is for?
Adam glances at her and then stands up. Amanda's smile falters.
Adam?
She follows him through dark rooms into the kitchen. Adam cuts a slice of bread from a loaf and puts the loaf in the bread box.
Please. You real mad, or is this a tease, or what? Real mad. Shouldn't we talk about it? Don't you want to hear my side?
He stalks out.
Aw, Adam.
Later, she finds Adam in the bedroom with the lights out. He lies in bed, still wearing his suit.
Adam, don't you want to talk to me?
She slides beside him on the bed. Adam gets up, crosses the room, and lies down on the other bed.
Well, what is it? Did I go too far? If you think I did, then I'm sorry. Well, Can't I apologize? Didn't you ever go too far?
Once.
He walks past her, goes into another room, and closes the door. He steps into his dressing room and sits down on a bench. Amanda hurries in. He looks up at her, then walks out. Amanda takes off her suit coat and follows. In the bathroom, Adam sits on a stool, fiddling with a brush. Amanda bursts in.
Now, Adam, if I'm in the wrong, I want to make it right. But you're making a mountain out of something that isn't even a anthill, let alone a molehill, a hill of beans.
Excuse me.
Yes?
May I say just one thing?
Of course.
Save your eloquence for the jury.
He goes to his dressing room and packs a suitcase.
Adam, please forgive me.
What for?
For whatever it is that's upset you.
Oh, you don't know what it is, huh?
Oh, not exactly, no.
Uh-huh, that's just my point.
What point?
We've been close, but we've never been this close, and I want to tell you that this close, I see something in you I've never seen before, and I don't like it. As a matter of fact, I hate it.
Go ahead.
Contempt for the law, that's what you've got. It's a disease, a spreading disease. You think the law is something that you can get over or get under or get around or get or just plain flaunt. You start with that, and you wind up in the... Well, look at us. The law is the law, whether it's good or bad. If it's bad, the thing to do is to change it, not just to bust it wide open. Start with one law, and then pretty soon it's all laws, and pretty soon it's everything. Then it's me. You've got no respect for me, have you?
Not at the moment, no.
Answer me one question, will you? What is marriage? Tell me that.
You tell me.
All right, I will tell you. It's a contract. It's the law. Are you going to outsmart that the way you've outsmarted all other laws? That's clever. That's very clever. You've outsmarted yourself, and you've outsmarted me, and you've outsmarted everything. You get yourself set on some dim-witted cause, and you go ahead regardless. You don't care what it does to me, or does to you, or does to anybody. And you don't care what people watching think of us. Well, I'll tell you what they think of us. They think we're a couple of uncivilized nuts. Uncivilized. Just what blow you've struck for women's rights or what have you, I'm sure I don't know. But you certainly have fouled us up beyond all recognition. You split us right down the middle.
How? Just how?
I've done it all the way I said I would. Sickness, health, richer, poorer, better, worse. But this is too worse. This is basic. I'm old-fashioned. I like two sexes. Yeah, and another thing. All of a sudden, I don't like being married to what is known as a new woman. I want a wife, not a competitor. Competitor. If you want to be a big he-woman, go and be it, but not with me.
You're not going to solve anything by running away. Where are you going?
She follows him downstairs.
Why don't you stand still and have it out? Where are you going?
Because I don't want to.
Adam, please, I've said all the wrong things. I don't know what's the matter with me. But you said...
Oh, no, I haven't. I've said everything I meant.
Amanda shoves him hard against the door. Adam's eyes burn. He takes his bags and opens the door.
Adam!
What?
Don't you dare slam that door!
He pulls the doorknob. Amanda flails back, knocking a vase into a lamp. Fruit spills from a bowl onto a phonograph.
Farewell, Amanda.
Amanda steps over the mess and throws the door closed. It swings back open. She slams the door until it shuts and runs upstairs. A newspaper cartoon shows Adam being lifted up. Now, in court, Amanda faces the jury.
So the question here is equality before the law, regardless of religion, color, wealth, or, as in this instance, sex.
She takes off her jacket.
Law, like man, is composed of two parts. Just as man is body and soul, so is the law, letter and spirit. The law says thou shalt not kill, yet men have killed and proved a reason and been set free. Self-defense, defense of others, of wife, of children, and home. If a thief breaks into your house and you shoot him, the law will not deal harshly with you, nor indeed should it. So here you are asked to judge, not whether or not these acts were committed, but to what extent they were justified. Now, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I request that you join me in a revealing experiment. I ask you all to direct your attention to the defendant, Mrs. Attinger. Now keep looking at her, keep watching. Listen carefully and look at her. Look at her hard. Now imagine her a man. Go on now, use your imaginations.
Slowly,
think of her
Doris Attinger transforms into a man wearing a suit and tie.
A husband who was only trying to protect his home. Now hold it, hold that impression and look at Beryl Kane.
Beryl turns into a man with a thin mustache.
A man, a slick home wrecker, a third party. A wolf. You know the type. All right, hold that impression and look at Mr. Attinger. And suppose him a woman.
He transforms into a homely woman in a dress.
Ah, yes, there she is. The guilty wife. Look at her. Does she arouse your sympathy? All right. Now you have it. Judge it so. An unwritten law stands back of a man who fights to defend his home. Apply this same law to this maltreated wife and neglected woman. We ask you no more. Equality. Deep in the heart of South America, there thrives today a civilization far older than ours. A people known as the Locanianos, descended from the Amazons. In this vast tribe, members of the female sex rule and govern and systematically deny equal rights to the men, made weak and puny by years of subservience, too weak to revolt. And yet, how long have we lived in the shadow of a like injustice? Consider this unfortunate woman's act as though you yourselves had each committed it. Every living being is capable of attack if sufficiently provoked. Assault lies dormant within us all. It requires only circumstance to set it in violent motion. I ask you for a verdict of not guilty. There was no murder attempt here. Only a pathetic attempt to save a home.
Later.
First of all, I should like to say at the outset that I think the arguments advanced by the counsel for the defense were sound. Mere sound.
He turns to Amanda, who frowns and fingers her earring. Adam faces the jury.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that is to say, gentlemen of the jury, while I have been vastly amused by some of the entertainment provided here, I must remind you that it has absolutely no bearing on the case. Of course, I am going to ask you for a verdict of guilty as charged. You, not I, must speak for the people. And the people ask you to say, citizens abide by the law. No one can feel safe living in a community when there are reckless and irresponsible neurotics wandering about its thoroughfares armed with deadly weapons. You must deal with criminals as though they were... You must deal with criminals...
Sit down, Pinky. I didn't get up and interrupt you every time you make a point.
I didn't get his last. You said sit down something.
No matter.
May I have it for the record, please?
Sit down, Pinky.
Pinky?
Yes.
What's that, a name?
Yes.
Whose?
The counsel for the defense.
Is that a Y or an IE?
Y for him, IE for me.
Can we get on with it? What was your objection, Pinky? Counsel!
I object to the characterization of the defendant as a criminal. A strange appellation indeed for one who has an unrendered record as a citizen, wife, and mother.
Just a moment. I have ruled.
The court has ruled.
All right, Pinky.
Adam steps toward the jury box.
Well, as I was saying, or rather as I was hoping I would be able to say, the purpose of any summation, it seems to me, in any lord of cause, in any court of cause, I beg your pardon.
Amanda stifles a smile.
Let me begin again. Yeah. What is it for you to decide? One thing. Was she trying to kill her husband and Beryl Kane, or both? I smile. I find it a little difficult to proceed in this case without bursting into laughter at the utter plimsicity of the answer and the puny excuse well after the fact that she was merely trying to frighten them. Simplicity. I resent I resent any neighbor who takes the law into her own hands and places a special interpretation upon it just for herself. Now, let's take the character of this Doris Fattinger. I'm afraid that's going to be a little difficult because we haven't been told much about it here. And we certainly haven't seen Doris Attinger in this courtroom. What we have seen is a performance, complete with makeup and costume. Coached by the counsel for the defense, she has presented a sweet face. What a sweet face. Crowned by a tenderly trimmed bonnet. I find it a little difficult to be taken in, ladies and gentlemen, because I happen to be the fellow who paid for the bonnet. And here's the receipt to prove it. Do you mind if I show that to the court and to the jury? I'd like to enter this as People's Exhibit number 12. And also, Mrs. Attinger, I would like to have my hat back.
He pulls the hat off Doris's head. The judge stands.
Now, any further?
You will conclude your summation without any further demonstration.
A newspaper headline, Attinger Verdict Today. In the court building, a man crosses a crowded hallway to the press room.
Okay, everybody, let's go.
Holding cameras above their heads, photographers and newspapermen cross the packed hall. They remove their hats and file into the crowded courtroom.
Please rise.
The judge enters and sits at his bench. The clerk stands facing the courtroom.
Please be seated.
Sitting beside Amanda, Doris Attinger stares blankly.
Mr. Foreman, please rise.
A man in the jury stands.
Have you agreed upon a verdict?
We have.
Jurors, please rise.
The jury of six men and six women stands.
Defendant, rise.
Doris slowly rises to her feet and gazes at the jury.
Jurors, look upon the defendant.
They turn to her.
Defendant, look upon the jurors.
Doris swallows hard.
How say you? Do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty?
We find the defendant not guilty.
Doris's lips tremble. Mr. Attinger bites his lip.
Hearken to your verdict as it stands recorded. You say you find the defendant not guilty of the offense as charged in the indictment. So say you all?
Yes, sir.
The judge.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, thank you for your efforts. Jury dismissed. Defendant discharged. Court is adjourned.
Please rise.
Come on, honey, let's get a picture.
A flashbulb fires as Amanda holds Doris in a quick embrace. Reporters surround them and lead Doris to the gallery.
Come on, honey, say something.
At the counsel table, Amanda glances around at the commotion. Then her gaze falls on Adam, solemnly packing his briefcase. He glances up at her, then back down at his papers. The reporters lead Warren Attinger to Doris and pose them together. Dressed in a black pinstripe suit, Warren shrugs and kisses his grinning wife on the nose. They push Beryl Kane forward, and all three of them shake hands for the cameras. As Doris releases her grip, Warren cheerfully clutches Beryl's thumb. Three little children approach Doris.
Hey, no, wait a minute. One more picture.
My baby! My baby!
Come on, give me a camera.
Warren and Beryl politely shake hands. While Doris embraces her three young children, the reporters quickly line them up for the cameras. Flash bulbs go off as Warren kneels beside his wife and gives his kids a hearty hug. Next, the reporters push Beryl beside them. She manages a reluctant smile and poses with the Attingers. At the counsel table, Adam and Amanda turn to leave.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Why should I say congratulations?
Yeah.
Well,
I wish it could have been a tie, Adam.
Stand together, will you? Right there.
The press surround them.
Well, this is a significant verdict. Yes, she does.
All right, can you look pleasant at her? Just
laugh it up, will you, for the camera?
A smile.
Small but important step in women's march toward equality and justice.
What?
From the front part of your summation. Okay to quote you now?
Yeah, yeah.
How about shake your hand?
Without looking at each other, Adam and Amanda shake hands for one picture.
Now, one of the
as the reporters move on, the stenographer pushes past Adam.
I'm sorry about
that. Excuse me,
please. Great job, Mrs. Bonner.
Thank you.
Adam glares after him.
Well?
Yeah.
Adam walks up the gallery aisle, past photographers snapping pictures of Beryl and the Attingers. Amanda watches him go and nervously twists her wedding band. Then she follows him outside the courtroom.
Did your husband help you at all?
Adam!
I consider the evidence.
We have to get with Julie over the quarterly tax return, remember? Tomorrow, all right? Want me to set it up?
No, I'll do it.
Thanks.
Well. Nothing.
See you.
Yes, I suppose so.
That evening in Kip's apartment.
Question of the value of the residuals of the piece. You see,
Kip fills Amanda's glass with champagne.
Question of retaining copyright.
You know, I made a mistake tonight.
So?
I should have invited your mind to supper, too.
What?
Your absent mind.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry, Kip.
She pats his contract.
Sure, this is in order, though.
Thanks. Want a drink?
Amanda shakes her head.
He thinks I'm unreasonable.
Who?
Adam.
Kip pours her more champagne.
Adam.
Well, just as a friend, Kip.
Yes, you beautiful barrister, you.
As a friend, do...
Kip snuggles close.
Do you think that I'm unreasonable?
I think you're reasonable.
Yes, but do I strike you? Strike you as overbearing?
Underbearing.
I may be wrong about much, about plenty, but not about this.
Not about what?
Marriage, what it's supposed to be. What makes it work or perfect?
You're so right.
Balance, equality, mutual everything. There's no room in marriage for what used to be known as the little woman. She's got to be as big as the man is.
What if he's a little man?
Sharing, that's what it takes to make a marriage. Keep a marriage from getting sick of all the duties and responsibilities. Now, you're sure that we can hear my phone in here?
I'm sure.
All the duties and responsibilities and troubles. Listen, no part of marriage is the exclusive province of any one sex. Well, now, why can't he see that?
Because he's unreasonable.
Well...
And overbearing.
Sore as he was. That was wrong to call me a competitor.
A what?
A competitor?
No.
What a way to put it.
Well, he's just miffed because he lost.
Oh, don't be idiotic. Be something, won't it? Win the case and lose my husband. Well... Maybe it's a test. Maybe if we weather this, we'll be better together. And if we don't...
Lawyers should never marry other lawyers. This is called inbreeding, from which comes idiot children and more lawyers.
I wish he'd call me up. You're sure that we can hear my phone in here?
Lawyers should marry piano players or songwriters or both. How would you like to give me a little kiss?
What time is it?
Wouldn't like to.
Why don't I... Why don't I call him up?
How would you like me to give you a little kiss?
I would, but I don't know where to call him. That's why.
Well, you couldn't with your mouth full anyway.
Amanda eats an hors d'oeuvre.
Amanda.
What?
Do you mind if I call you Mrs. Bonner?
Equality. Mutual everything. Or nothing.
Mrs. Bonner, I love you. I love lots of girls and ladies and women and so on, but you're the only one I know why I love. And do you know why?
What?
Because you live right across the hall from me. You're mighty attractive in every single way, Mrs. Bonner, but I'd probably love anybody who lived right across the hall from me. It's so convenient. Is there anything worse than that awful taking a girl home and then that long trek back alone? Want to trade kisses, that's equal.
Now, you look here, Kip. I'm fighting my prejudices, but it's clear that you're behaving like a... Well, I hate to put it this way, but like a man.
You watch your language.
Was that my phone?
She gets up and looks toward the door. Kip follows with more champagne. Outside, Adam stands across the street, gazing up at the curtained windows of Kip's apartment. In silhouette, Kip holds Amanda as she sways back and raises her glass. Later, Adam steps out of an elevator.
Oh, could I use your pass key?
Sure thing.
What will I ever do without you, Louis?
Just remember your key.
Don't wait, I'll bring it right down.
Sure thing.
Adam takes the key from the elevator operator and walks toward his apartment. As the elevator doors close, he goes across the hall to Kip's door. He opens his briefcase and removes a revolver, then slips the pass key into the lock. Inside with Kip and Amanda.
Just pretend like they do on the stage, like Lunt and Fontaine. You be Lunt, I'll be Fontaine. The other way.
He dips her back in a stage kiss as Adam walks in with the gun.
All right. All right. Break it up.
Amanda eyes the revolver. Kip hides Adam. Behind her.
Adam, listen to me, Adam.
Don't you handle me, lady. I'm not nutty. Not any more than the average. You said it yourself today, didn't you? You said anyone is capable of attack if provoked. You bet, including me. Yes. Don't you move, young man. You stand as still as you can be.
Kip drops his bottle.
Now, Adam. Adam.
You said that before.
Now, Adam, you're sick. Please. What do you think you're doing?
Teaching a lesson. Him first, then comes yours. Now, get away, Amanda.
Adam, stop.
Get away, Amanda.
Don't you do it, Amanda.
Stop it, Adam. Stop it. You've no right. You can't do what you're doing. You've no right.
What?
No one has a right to...
She gapes. Adam nods.
That's all, sister. That's all I wanted to hear. Music to my tin ear.
He puts the gun in his mouth. Amanda covers her eyes as Adam bites down on the barrel of the gun and chews it off. With his mouth full, Adam grins.
Liquid. If there's anything I'm a sucker for, it's liquid.
Still chewing, he sits down with a smug grin. Amanda glares, then throws down her glass.
Never! Never!
Me neither. I'll never forget that no matter what you think the same as I think. That I have no right. That no one has a right to break the law. That your client had no right. That I'm right and you're wrong.
Worthless, corrupt, mean, rotten, dirty, contemptible, little, petty, gruesome, contemptible.
You said all that before.
What?
Go on back to your rational mind.
You think you can just hit and run? Well, that's where you're wrong. I have a thing or two to say, too.
Don't try me now, Pinky.
Don't Pinky me.
She slams the door shut. Our view stays on the closed door.
How dare you!
I have you arrested right now!
Kip's door opens and Amanda chases Adam into the hallway.
You just get out of here, you! Manners of a great, big, educated ape!
Kip shuts his door.
You think you've humiliated me? Well, that's where you're wrong, my boy. You haven't humiliated anyone with the possible exception of yourself. You've just revealed yourself for what you are. Just couldn't bear to be besting
by
a woman.
All right, that's enough yelling just to let the people... If you want to talk to me, go on in and sit down. We'll talk things over.
Into that room, are you joking? I'd be afraid to be in the same room with a mad boy.
Go on,
sit down. Be in the same room with you again.
That's fine. That suits me fine.
What?
You will be in the same room with me. Don't forget that. You settle things up.
All right.
And that's tomorrow, and don't forget it.
Kip stalks out in a tattered suit jacket holding a broken vase. Shoving and finger waving, Kip and Adam follow Amanda around the hallway. Amanda steps into the elevator. Adam walks into Kip's apartment, and Kip backs into Adam's.
Let me tell you, I know something about law, and there's going to be a law against you!
Kip and Adam go to their own apartments, glaring as they cross each other in the hall. Now, Kip's next-door neighbor steps out into the deserted hallway.
Nobody. Like I told you, just plain nobody. I don't know what's the matter with you lately. You're always hearing things.
Now, on a storefront, a sign reads, Jules Frick, Certified Public Accountant. Inside, Adam and Amanda sit on opposite sides of the office with their accountant in between.
Now, here's a check. $337.41, issued to Martin L. Baumer. What's that? It's on the joint account.
Furrier.
Mending a coat.
Put it on mine, please.
Wait.
Coat was a present.
I know.
Well, I gave you the coat. Naturally, I expect you keep it in repair.
Not at all.
But I want to.
I can't help that.
Listen, if we're going to debate every one of these, we'll be here till the next quarter.
Okay.
Mine.
And not deductible. Indeed. All right. Now, next is Pollard and Douglas.
That's Seeds. Seeds for the house in the country.
$478.60?
We like a lot of plants.
Liked.
Indeed. All right, $100. $100 to Dwight Everly.
Oh, that was... Yeah, remember that? That was a bet we lost. I lost.
A bet? What kind of bet?
What difference does it make?
N.D. Something you can't tell me?
Oh, it's nothing silly.
Uh-huh. All right. Jewel Delwyn, $280. You should note all these on your stub, saves time.
That was mine, not deductible.
What is it? Maybe it is.
Just some underwear.
Underwear?
Mm-hmm.
$280 worth?
Wasn't my underwear.
Very well.
Amanda looks up.
Thank you.
Bridgeport, Connecticut Citizens Bank. $8,740.30. That's what?
That's the last payment on the farm. Written on the stub there, I'm sure, Julie.
I made out that check myself. I'm sure it's there, Julie.
Well, who said it wasn't? It isn't. The point is, how much of that is interest, which is deductible, and how much of it is actual mortgage payment, which is not?
I don't know. Do you, Adam?
No. I suppose by that time we were so excited at getting it paid off that we just got careless.
Oh, this was final?
Yes. We, own it now. Every scrap.
It took us 6 years.
But we made it.
Free and clear.
He puts his thumb in his mouth. Adam holds his clenched fist to his lips and tears well in his eyes. Amanda's mouth goes slack as she notices tears glistening on her husband's cheeks.
You know, there's a new ruling on that. This process could be considered as paying the interest in advance. The taxpayer, however, can deduct this type of interest payment only at the time the mortgage is fully paid.
Adam walks to the window, still holding his thumb in his mouth.
Can, of course, take the deduction as the interest payments accrue during
the life of the mortgage. Amanda steps beside him and squeezes his arms.
But I don't know whether that would actually...
Listen, Pinky.
What?
If we started now, we could get there in time for dinner.
You mean and see the dogs?
She nods and swallows back tears.
Of course, there isn't much in the freeze.
You don't want to go?
We'll be here another 2 hours at least.
Yes, I do.
You don't really want to go?
But there are a lot more items.
Amanda puts Adam's hat on his head and turns him toward the door.
Come on.
Where?
Come on.
Home. Back to the farm.
Oh, wait a minute. You've got to...
Oh, sign our names. Give them all the money. Sign anything.
Well, this could cost you.
Oh, we don't care about that. The more taxes we pay, the better we like it. See?
Mm-hmm. Now, between the paper theater curtains, a card reads, "And that night." At Bonner Hill, Amanda sits in front of the fireplace, massaging her feet.
Hey!
Speaking to me?
You were pretty good.
When?
All the way through. Especially the summation. You had me. Almost.
Almost?
What?
You weren't so bad yourself.
No, I didn't think so either. We got a big thing to talk about tomorrow.
What?
They want me to run for that county court judgeship. The Republicans do. It's a sure seat, practically.
Pinky.
Yeah, that's me. County court judge Pinky.
I'm real proud of you.
I'd rather have you say that than anything. Thank you.
He steps into another room to change.
Hello, Amanda.
Lingering in the bedroom, Amanda finds the flowered hat in Adam's briefcase.
Hello, Amanda. The battle was fought, but it's done. It's true.
She holds the hat to the fire's flame, then pulls it back and puts it on. Smiling, she turns out a light and ties the hat under her chin.
The stars above, we'll revive that wonderful night on the veranda. Sweet Amanda.
Adam?
Yes? And our love.
Have they picked the Democratic candidate yet?
Adam stalks in wearing a pajama shirt. He glares at Amanda sitting demurely on the bed.
I was just wondering.
You were.
She loosens her dress and shows her shoulders.
But you wouldn't.
How do you know?
Because I'd cry and then you wouldn't.
What?
I'd cry, the way I did in Julie's office today. Got me what I wanted, didn't it? Got me you back.
Those were real, those tears.
Of course they were, but I can turn them on any time I want to. Us boys can do it too, you know. It's just that we never think to.
Bunk.
Bunk, huh? Keep your eye on the eye.
Now, we're having a little fuss, see? And I'm losing. So here they come. On your mark now. Get set. Go.
Adam squints. Tears drip from his eyes and roll down his cheeks. Amanda's brow furrows and she watches him with a sympathetic gaze. Adam points to his tears.
See? Now I help it along a little like this.
Amanda's lips quiver. She leans in closer as Adam's chest heaves with sobs. Looking up, Adam grins at his wife and wipes his tears with a handkerchief.
Oh, yes. There ain't any of us don't have our little tricks, you know.
He puts his fedora on crooked and eyes Amanda, smiling in her hat.
All right, but what does that show? What have you proved?
It shows a score.
Shows that what I said was true. There's no difference between the sexes. Men, women, the same.
They are, huh?
Well, maybe there is a difference, but it's a little difference.
Well, you know, as the French say.
What do they say?
Vive la différence.
Which means?
Which means hooray for that little difference.
He jumps onto the bed beside her and pulls the bed curtain shut. A card reads, The End. Made in Hollywood, USA by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Cast, Spencer Tracy as Adam Bonner. Katherine Hepburn as Amanda Bonner. Judy Holliday as Doris Attinger. Tom Ewell as Warren Attinger. David Wayne as Kip Lurie. Gene Hagen as Beryl Kane. Hope Emerson as Olympia LaPere. Eve March as Grace. Clarence Kolb as Judge Reiser. With Emerson Tracy, Polly Moran, Will Wright, and Elizabeth Flournoy.